Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. All of our great ESPN stations across the country, including 710 in LA. John Ireland with the call there. Lakers Radio Network. We are presented by Progressive Insurance as the Los Angeles Lakers last night eliminated from the postseason with a 108-106 walk-off loss to Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, and the Denver Nuggets, a defending champs. Good morning, Michelle Smallman. Good morning, Chris Canty. I am Evan Cohen. How is everybody doing today?
I'm disgusted because the refs gave us the old screw job last night. I just don't even understand it. I don't get it. In a situation where you try to save a foul on AD, you challenge it correctly, you end up getting the call overturned, but you lose a timeout. That timeout would have come in handy because after Jamal Murray hits that shot to go ahead with 3 seconds left, the Lakers didn't have the opportunity to call a timeout, advance the ball to half court, set up a play, and get a good quality shot. Instead, we're left with a half court heave from Torian Prince. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Like, I just don't even understand the rule. I'm right there with Charles Barkley. He was talking about it on Inside the NBA last night, and he's absolutely right. It makes no damn sense. Darvin Ham had two challenges. They were both successful. Shouldn't the league give us another challenge or at the very least not take away our timeout? The ref made the mistake, not us. Why are we being penalized for it by losing a timeout? I don't get it. Now, I understand what the NBA is trying to do, by limiting the amount of stoppages of play, the flow of the game. I get all of those reasons. But that doesn't make it right to be punitive when a coach issues a challenge and it ends up being a successful challenge. Don't take my time out from me. If I have to have a timeout to challenge, that's one thing. But even if I have a successful challenge, you shouldn't take the timeout away. Take a page out of the NFL's playbook. There are very few times where I say the NBA should be like the NFL, but in this instance, I think it's warranted. Take a page out of the NFL's playbook. Like, if you have a successful challenge, if your coach has two successful challenges, you can give them a third challenge. I think you cap it at three. That's about the number. But at the very least, don't take away the timeout. I hate that rule.
All right. That's off your chest.
Yeah, I'm going to talk my chest now.
Because it's over, Smalls. CeCe
got that up. Why do you want to be a bad guy? Why do you want to be a bad guy?
I mean, you know, we got to get to the
bad guy.
No, we got to get to the point here.
Oh, my gosh.
The point is LeBron, Smalls, right?
Yeah. CeCe, don't worry. Evan's just doing that because Miami's about to join the Lakers being done for the season. So he's trying to relish in
unnecessary.
Your misery before he joins.
You know what, Smalls? And the Heat are trying to take as many Boston Celtics with them as they possibly can.
Don't do that.
Kristaps Porzingis at the end with Bam Adebayo and Jason Tatum.
Oh, my God.
The Heat are trying to take their pound of flesh.
I know you can't say that with a straight face.
They might be going home, but they want to make sure the Celtics are going home shortly thereafter.
Yeah, they're going to take something with them, right?
No doubt.
And CeCe, I understand that you have a right to be upset today, but at the end of the day, would changing the end of the game really make that much of a marked difference? It feels like it would just be potentially delaying the inevitable, no?
Yeah, it would be, but I guess my whole point is I'm trying to hang on to LeBron James, right?
Yes.
For dear life. He's got the player option coming up this summer, and there's a lot of ambiguity around what his future holds in the NBA. Is he going to stay with the Lakers for year 22? Is he going to go somewhere else? Is he going to shut it down? Like, I'm concerned about all of those things. So, as a Lakers fan, if we can scratch off another win, well, now all of a sudden there's signs of progress, right? You got swept in the conference finals by the Denver Nuggets last season. If you're able to, you know, get a couple of wins off of them this year, then maybe you could say, you know what? There is a viable path for us to close the gap with the Denver Nuggets and the elite powers in the West. But based on what it looked like last night, based on it being a gentleman sweep, I just think that it leaves the door a little bit more wide open for LeBron James to potentially leave the Los Angeles Lakers.
And he was asked about that last night. So they lose the game, they're eliminated from the playoffs, and LeBron was asked, could that have been his last game potentially with the Lakers last night?
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
I mean, that is a pretty telling answer. This is the most calculated athlete we have ever had in the history of sports. I don't believe there has ever been a smarter man doing what he does. And what he does, I mean, is play basketball at an elite level and calculate, right? He is, I've always said this, he's the single worst advertisement for the educational system in the United States of America because he's so damn smart and he never went to school, right? So he's a bad, and yet he opened a school. So I want to give the person credit. But this is a guy that has been with the Lakers for six seasons. If you think about what they've done in his 6 years, it is good. But for most Laker fans, it is probably not good enough. And now he's got a player option at $51.1 million. Entering the year, potentially, with the Lakers, he's going to turn 40 in December. It'll be his 22nd season in the NBA. He is eligible for as much up to a three-year, $162 million extension if he declines that option, and a two-year, $104 million option or contract if he declines it and only wants to sign a two-year, a one-plus-one with a player option on the other end of it. This is going to be fascinating because if you actually look at what LeBron has done with the Lakers in his six seasons, he's won one title. He's been to the conference finals twice. He's been to the playoffs four times. He's missed the playoffs twice. He did not win an MVP. He's had three coaches. And the average for the Los Angeles Lakers, if you average out what you are going to get if you bring LeBron James back to LA, you're going to get 42 wins, and you're going to be a seven seed. That is the average of the six seasons combined, 42 wins and a seven seed.
That's not fair the way you're framing that, though, because year one, AD wasn't there, right? Like, LeBron James came over in free agency, didn't cost the Lakers anything in the way of assets in order to do it, just cap space. So it became a situation where we knew that would be a gap year as far as LeBron James competing for championships. When they got AD year one, they won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like it's not as if this team doesn't have the ability. Now, am I delusional? No, because you're talking about three of the last 4 years, them being bounced in the first round, and LeBron James, like, quite literally never gets bounced in the first round. I think it's only happened one other time in his career prior to getting to the Los Angeles Lakers. So there is some concern there, but I know LeBron James can still compete at a championship level. He showed it last night. The guy was one rebound shy of a 30-point triple-double. He's still a guy that can control the game, that dictate the complexion of the game. It's just that he needs more help. And unfortunately, the timeline for those other young players in the core that the Lakers have just hasn't matched up to where LeBron and AD currently are. Like, we're still waiting on guys like Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura and D'Angelo Russell to take the next step, and they just haven't. So at some point, you have to pivot as an organization and acknowledge that these dudes aren't going to come around quick enough for us to capitalize on the twilight of LeBron James's career. We're going to have to be aggressive. We're going to have to move off of them. We might have to mortgage those three first-round draft picks that are actually tradable this summer in order to bring over a piece or pieces that mesh with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and guys that can actually be difference makers this time of year.
So I'm getting different vibes from both of you. So, CeCe, you still believe that LeBron James can be the centerpiece of a championship team, correct?
Correct.
And Evan, from what I'm picking up from you, it seems like you feel like his time with the Lakers was a disappointment, and you don't know if he can be the centerpiece of a championship team moving forward.
Well, Smalls, I don't ever want to say winning a championship is a disappointment. What I'll say is it's good but not good enough. When you're thinking about, and the laundry in this case matters, right? He's playing for the Lakers. He's not playing for another team that has never won before. This is a team that always wins. So his peers in this case would be guys like Kobe and Shaq and Matt Magic and Kareem and Wilt, etc. Now, obviously, he got there much later in his career than those guys got there. But Smalls, if you look at the six-year run he had in LA, which, by the way, is the second longest tenured run he's had in his NBA career with one specific team. His first go-round in Cleveland was 7 years. Each of the next two stops, Miami and the second go-round with Cleveland, only 4 years. He's already been in LA 6 years, and if he comes back next year, he will equal his Cleveland run the first time around. And I could make the argument, Smalls, that this is the worst run of his entire career.
The worst run?
You can make that argument. I mean, to me, his 4 years in Miami were the best. Most would say his second term in Cleveland was the best, right? In terms of winning a title, because they had never done it before. So either any way you want to cut it, 1 and 2 in those 2 years, those two stops, right?
Okay.
I think we would agree with that. Because if you look at it, so his second time around in Cleveland, 4 years, 4 finals, 1 title, 4 top 5 MVP finishes. Pretty damn good. His time in Miami, 4 years, 4 finals, 2 titles, 2 MVPs, 2 finals MVPs, 4 top 3 MVP finishes. Ridiculous numbers. The question then becomes, Cleveland part one or this? In Cleveland part one, he had 7 years, 1 final, 2 MVPs, 5 top 5 MVPs, no title, 6 years with the Lakers, and won a title. It's either the last or the second to last run, but it's also the latest in his career. All I'm saying is, I don't think it's as obvious as, yes, we have to bring him back. We have to build a whole team around him, because I don't know what you're actually going to get other than an average of 42 wins in a 7 seed.
Hold on. So are you suggesting that the Lakers might not want LeBron James back?
I'm suggesting everything has to be on the table. Everything. I'm suggesting if somebody calls them and they want to say, what would it take to actually trade for LeBron James? I think the Lakers have to listen.
You're not trading LeBron James. He's the Los Angeles Lakers. You're a destination for stars. You don't become that by treating stars that way, especially LeBron James, the second greatest player in NBA history. It's not going
to
happen.
They have to consider it.
That's not a consideration. If LeBron James is not with the Los Angeles Lakers next year, it's because he doesn't want to be. And he's making that choice. And then the organization is acquiescing to them. I don't know if that's what he's thinking, but I will tell you this. After hearing that soundbite postgame, I had angst. As a Lakers fan, that might have been the first time where I saw it and said, you know what? LeBron James might actually leave.
Yeah.
Like, he's seeing the same thing that we're seeing. The Denver Nuggets are not going away. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic is the best two-man game in basketball. All of a sudden, Ant-Man is the face of the league with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are the best defensive outfit in all of basketball. Then you got what the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing. Dismantled the New Orleans Pelicans. I think in that series, the Pelicans had 18 turnovers or more in every single game. That's the kind of defense that they were able to play once we got to the postseason. So those teams ain't going away. Like, so if you're the Lakers, can you do enough to close the gap? If you're LeBron James, can this organization put enough around you to take advantage of the next couple of years that you have of basketball? And if the answer is no, after you take a long, hard look at it, then I think there is a viable pathway for LeBron James to say, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else in the Western Conference that will allow me to compete for a championship and stay relatively close to home. And that somewhere else is the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, right, well, hold that one. Hold that one for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Smalls.
Well, I don't know. CeCe just dropped that bomb, and I certainly want to come back to that. But I was going to say, I think it's far more likely that LeBron James leaves the Lakers and or retires before they move on from him. I remember Jeannie Buss saying a couple years ago how important it was for the Lakers brand that LeBron retires a Laker. To CeCe's point, they treat stars a certain way within that organization. And I remember a couple months ago, I think it was March, where LeBron says he knows that he doesn't have much time left in his career and that he doesn't know when the door is going to close as far as retirement is concerned. He's thought about that. He knows that the end of the road is near. So I think he is far more likely to go somewhere else where he tries to do a quote-unquote last dance and get another championship before he's done or retires, before the Lakers consider moving on from him.
They treat their stars a certain way. I don't think he's their star. I think he's a star that joined their team. I don't think he's their star. I think he's different than Magic. He's different than Kobe. He's different than Kareem. And I know Kareem played elsewhere.
I was about to say.
I know Kareem played elsewhere.
With the Bucks.
I know, but most people listening to us have no idea that Kareem played elsewhere, okay. Right? I mean, the reality is I don't think he's one of them. But that's where we go with this. That's interesting, guys. The Lakers fans and the basketball fans and the sports fans out there, LeBron James's tenure with the Lakers, good? Not good enough? Good enough? How do we look, if it's over, which it may be, how do we look at his tenure with the Lakers? Would you say that maybe, possibly, they've underachieved with LeBron James there? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is your telephone number to join the show. We're going to get your phone calls in. We've got to dive back into CeCe's potential destination for LeBron if he does leave the Lakers. And I have a destination for you, and that is La Quinta. We all know that breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. And you know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurts, and of course, waffles. Who really doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? I know I do. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote, online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. LeBron and the Lakers, huge story today. Eliminated last night. All right, let's look at his Lakers career, and then we're going to open it up for calls here at 888-SAY-ESPN, because a lot of people want to chime in on LeBron James, obviously, and what they did last night and what they've done this season and really in his tenure in L.A. So the 6 years in L.A., if we're going to have three options, overachieve, achieve, or underachieve, Smalls, where are you going? LeBron with the Lakers, overachieve, achieved, or underachieved?
Achieved. He won a title. I know it was a title in the bubble in a truncated season, but he still won a title during his tenure, and that's the goal of all of this. I'm not going to diminish it in any way because it was during a COVID season. And while it is LeBron James and you expect more championships, I don't think you can say you underachieved when there's a banner hanging there because of you.
Thank you. It's all about being able to compete for championships with LeBron James. They got a title in the bubble in 2020. They were in the conference finals last year. This organization has given them a chance to compete for championships. And that's all you can ask for. Like, they put him in position to be able to do so. Now, you can question some of the decisions they've made of late, but LeBron James has still shown his ability to be great at a level that we haven't seen any other player in NBA history be great at when you're talking about being in his late 30s, moving into year 22. So I just, LeBron James has been absolutely awesome. I have to qualify it as a success. I don't know how you could say otherwise.
So I would say I agree he achieved, but I will say it's much closer to and this is a compliment to him. Because of his greatness, because of the greatness of the other stops along the way, he's closer with LA to underachieving than he is overachieving. I mean, it's closer to underachieving based on who he is, what he has done, and who was there prior to him. It's closer to underachieving. 6 years missing the playoffs twice, going to the Western Conference Finals twice, going to the finals once, winning a title. I'm not in any way, shape, or form discounting the bubble. I think it's harder in the bubble. I don't know why people think it's so much easier when all you're doing is playing basketball and he wins a title. I actually think it's a major plus for him when everyone is focused on one singular thing and he's better than everyone at that one singular thing.
Sure.
I look at that as a plus for him. But I think that because of his greatness in Miami and Cleveland prior, this is the worst stop along the way for him. And I would say it's closer to underachieving than it is achieving or overachieving.
Yeah, but think about what was around him in Miami and Cleveland. In Miami, he had Chris Bosh and he had Dwayne Wade. In Cleveland, he had prime Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving.
But this is his fault in L.A. This all goes back to the Russell Westbrook trade. Gosh. It does. It all goes back to the Russell Westbrook trade. He made a horrible trade with Russell Westbrook, and it totally set the franchise back.
It was a horrible move.
Thank you. You said it all year.
It was a horrible.
Just because I said it doesn't mean you can deny it.
I've said it for years.
I know, but I've known you for this
years. Like, look, that was an awful deal. I mean, even Magic Johnson thought they were getting DeMar DeRozan, and in the 11th hour, I guess Clutch Sports and Rich Paul and LeBron James decided we prefer to have Russell Westbrook. Now, no diss to Russell Westbrook.
No, he's just been bad fit.
He's been great for the Clippers.
Bad fit.
But it was a bad fit with the Lakers because with LeBron James, you got to surround him with shooters, and Russell Westbrook is a ball-dominant guard that wants to get into the paint. So it just didn't go together. But, yeah, I mean, it's not for a lack of trying. The organization has tried, and it's not for a lack of LeBron James being a superstar player. Like, he's not just a superstar in name. He's a superstar as far as game goes, too. It's just unfortunate that there isn't a lot else outside of AD on the roster that's going to allow him to contend and beat teams like the Denver Nuggets. And we've seen that the last two postseasons.
All right, let's get some calls in on this at 888-SAY-ESPN because you're right about the Russell Westbrook thing. There were two turning point moments, not getting Ty Lue and getting Russell Westbrook. Who knows how it turns out if both of those go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Caleb in Los Angeles listening on 710 ESPN LA, the home of the Lakers. What's up, Caleb?
Hey, well, originally I was calling to say it's impossible to argue that we should move on from LeBron as a diehard Lakers fan. But to say he underachieved, I think, is even as a Lakers fan who expects championships and is wildly disappointed, I think it's impossible to say he's underachieved. Everybody calls it the bubble ring, but to us in L.A., that's the Kobe ring. It was the year Kobe passed away. So that automatically, LeBron bringing us a ring during that span, makes his tenure somewhat of a success. But as far as us moving on from LeBron James, I think that where would we turn if we did do that? The way that our roster is currently constructed, it's no way to really pivot anywhere else except to continue to build around him and AD as long as they're both playing at an elite level, which I think everyone can agree they did over these past five games. We need to upgrade on the fringes and particularly on our perimeter defense.
Yeah, I mean, they need more wing defenders. They don't have enough. They don't have enough. If those guys can shoot, that'd be great too. But they need guys that can defend those versatile wings, especially in the Western Conference, some of the players that you're going to be up against. So I'm not disagreeing with that. But I also think you need another star. You need somebody else that will allow them to compete when LeBron James is off the floor. Somebody else that can create their own shot, create shots for others. Somebody that can get you 30 points in a playoff game. And right now, outside of AD, they don't have that. So that's the thing that they've got to be searching for. Now, good for them that there were some disappointing exits already this postseason, and we're poised for another one depending on what happens with that Clippers-Mavs series. Somebody is going to be disappointed in terms of the outcome. So there will be available veteran options that will line up with the timeline that you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, and I think that's where the Lakers have to put their focus.
Drew in Richmond watching on ESPN2. What's up, Drew?
Hi, guys. First time caller, a long time listener. I agree with you all. I think LeBron is kind of this stage of his career is kind of where he's at, and anybody would expect to be there at this point. And he's kind of proud of himself for winning that championship, and I think that's a good thing. Also, I think his future kind of lies on Bronny. If Bronny gets drafted, you know, maybe he goes someplace else, but if Bronny doesn't, maybe he hangs it up. I think it's a good place for him there. So I think, I agree with everything you're saying here. Great, great points.
Yeah, I think the Bronny thing is very interesting, right? And we'll have a deeper conversation on that. But his son entering the NBA draft, where he potentially gets drafted if he stays in the draft, he still would have the opportunity to go back to school, whether it be USC or somewhere else if he so chooses. And does that become a thing where he says to the Lakers, basically, I'm coming back if you draft Bronny? They may not have a choice, though. There could be another team that sees light at the end of the tunnel and trying to get LeBron James because he does change your franchise. There's no question about that. And, you know, I'm just looking here on the current draft board. The Lakers, if the Pelicans don't keep their pick, would pick 17. You know, pick 16, as of now, would be Philadelphia.
Oh.
You know who's got more cap space than anybody else in the league? I think that's a contender. Outside of San Antonio, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Would you put it past Daryl Morey to draft Bronny James 16 overall just to make sure that LeBron goes there? I wouldn't. Right?
For sure not.
I mean, Tyrese Maxey represented by Clutch. There's already a connection there. I'm just saying, like, they may not control this Bronny narrative. That's the other part of it. Now, he's not, based on his ability so far, warranted of a top 16 pick in the draft. But if he comes along with LeBron James, he certainly is.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, LeBron James can still make the decision to go back to college if he so chooses.
Correct.
So I think LeBron can put his thumb on the scale on this one and dictate how this thing goes, not just with Bronny and who's going to decide to draft him, but also where he decides to go to continue his NBA career. Again, the Golden State Warriors thing makes so much sense. It's not far away from L.A. That's where his family set up shop. Mm-hmm. He's still got to consider his son, Bryce. He's still got to consider his daughter, who's a very good volleyball player in her own right. Like, they've got family things going on in Southern California. I can't imagine that he'd want to go all the way across the country.
You're right.
For year 22. So
I
think it has to be a situation where he stays relatively close to home. And he's always wanted to play with Steph Curry. So the Golden State Warriors make sense because that's a franchise that has to retool things around their aging superstar and Steph Curry along with Draymond Green. So LeBron James, Steph, Draymond Green, I don't know. Sounds like a conference championship team or better in my opinion.
It sounds juicy to me, CeCe. I'm on board 100%. I would love to watch that team. But LeBron is always thinking so many steps ahead, and he has told us, guys, like if we're paying attention to what he says, he's told us that he doesn't have a lot of time left, and he's told us consistently that he would want to play with Bronny. So unless it's a place where he feels like he really does have the best possible cast around him in order for him to go and try and get one more title before this thing is over, I can't imagine that anything outside of playing with his son would be enticing enough for him to want to uproot the very comfortable life that he has in LA with his family.
So much more to get to with this, obviously, with the Lakers eliminated, LeBron James's future. But first, do want to tell everybody about True Green. It is heating up in the Northeast, all across the country. It is heating up. We know that, obviously, warm weather climates, you have the beautiful lawn outside, make it even better with True Green. I love a beautiful lawn. I hate doing lawn care. That's why I use True Green, the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And those, we know, are some nice greens. Just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan, by today, April 30th, you get one application free. Visit truegreen.com for the best lawn at the best price. Guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Ah, yes, it is Tuesday, so that means we rank stuff here on Unsportsmanlike. The Canty Power Rankings. But before we get to that, got to make the introductions. He is Evan Cohen. She is Michelle Smallman. I am Chris Canty. And this says on Sportsmanlike's top five super team flops in the NBA. This is inspired, of course, by Kevin Durant and what's going on with the Phoenix Suns, right? So we had to come up with our top five list of the worst super teams in NBA history. Now, these are teams that grossly underachieved based on the resumes of the talent that they assembled. So, Javonte, if you would, let's get this thing kicked off.
Number 5.
The Los Angeles Clippers. And I'm not even going to put years on it. I mean, we can put years on it, but it's just the Clippers' existence as a whole. But, I mean, if you look at the 2013 through the 2017 Clippers, you're talking about a squad that rolled off five straight 50-win seasons but never got to a conference finals. That's Blake Griffin. That's J.J. Redick, our very own. That's Chris Paul. That's DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, they weren't able to get it done. It is a gross overachievement. And, of course, we have to put Doc Rivers' name on it, right, because he was their head coach. Like, of course, he's at the center of teams that seemingly underachieve. But considering that you have one of the best, if not the best, point guard of all time in Chris Paul – for them not to get to a conference finals after that, having that type of regular season success, is absolutely ridiculous. And then we can spin it forward to the Kawhi Leonard years, post-Toronto Raptors championship. You're talking about 2020 through 2024. Kawhi Leonard being with the Los Angeles Clippers for 5 years, and you're talking about only having one conference finals appearance in that five-year span, and a lot of disappointment because Kawhi Leonard hasn't been on the court consistently. When they assembled him and Paul George, you thought that it had the makings of a team that would be able to have a dynastic run. It has been anything but with the Los Angeles Clippers, who are now fighting for their lives to get out of the first round in a series against the Dallas Mavericks. Next.
Number four.
The 2012-2013 Los Angeles Lakers. After losing in the conference semis the year prior, the Lakers scrambled to put together a squad that would allow Kobe Bryant to compete for a championship in the twilight of his career. They went out and got Dwight Howard, and they went out and got two-time MVP Steve Nash, and it ended in abject failure. They were swept in the first round by the San Antonio Spurs. They didn't even pinch the San Antonio Spurs, didn't put up much of a fight. It was absolutely abysmal. Dwight Howard was a shell of himself. Same with Steve Nash. The Lakers, I don't know why they continue to do this. We've seen that once before when they went out and got Gary Payton. They went out and got Karl Malone, and it was a disaster. But this felt a lot worse as a Lakers fan because you had a finite window to capitalize on the greatness that was the Black Mamba. Next.
Number three.
The 23-24 Phoenix Suns. I mean, we have to put Kevin Durant on this list with the Suns. I mean, it's bad. This is his first full season. And remember, they had the trade last year, and things were a little bit clunky coming out of Brooklyn. They did have the playoff appearance. Didn't necessarily go the way they wanted to. But this feels worse than what happened last year. I mean, you've had KD, you've had Bradley Beal, you've had Devin Booker playing more games this year in the regular season than either one of them have played in the past 3 years. And yet, you're still talking about a team that couldn't even scratch off a win in a first-round series against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are an upstart group. Now, no disrespect to Minnesota, because Anthony Edwards is, you know, one of the faces, if not the face of the NBA, and he's a good player in his own right. But the Phoenix Suns have to be better, especially knowing what the owner is spending on this payroll. It is absolutely ridiculous that they couldn't get a win off of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And here's the crazy thing. I don't know how the Phoenix Suns gets much better from here, considering the cap constraints that they have to work around and considering the conference that they play in. Next.
Number two.
The Houston Rockets, 97 through 99. Four Hall of Famers. Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, Scottie Pippen, and Charles Barkley. Mm-hmm. Across two seasons, zero playoff series wins. The year prior to putting these guys together, the team made it to the conference finals, and the expectations couldn't have been higher. Remember the couple of championships that the Rockets won in the mid-90s when Michael Jordan wasn't in the league? Like, they had huge expectations, and they flopped. Now, in all fairness, all of these players were fighting past their primes. Hakeem Olajuwon missed 35 games in the 98 campaign, but still, this is an all-time failure considering the resumes on those players of the players on that team. So we are recapping the top five NBA super team flops. We got the 97-99 Rockets. We got the 23-24 Suns. We got the 2012-13 Lakers. And we have the 2013 through now Los Angeles Clippers. But there can only be one that takes the number one spot as the biggest super team flop in NBA history. Javonte, if you will.
Number one.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Which one?
No, I'm not talking about the KG Paul Pierce Brooklyn Nets. I'm talking about the KD James Harden Kyrie Irving Brooklyn Nets. Now, what makes this all time bad is that Kevin Durant, the cornerstone that all of this was supposed to be built around, actually left a dynastic team with the greatest shooter God ever made in Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson to go run with Kyrie Irving and eventually James Harden in Brooklyn. Now, they didn't play a lot of games together. I want to say they played less than 20 games together.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a situation where they only had one playoff series win. Now, they came a Kevin Durant size 17 shoe away from winning that second round series against the Milwaukee Bucks and getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. But still, you have to call it a massive failure. And it's not just what happened on the court. It was the weird stuff that was going on away from the court. Kyrie Irving going AWOL from the team, not once but twice for weeks on end. Nobody knew where he was. He showed up on a Zoom call
for a
political candidate. I mean, this guy showed up in a nightclub celebrating his sister and his dad's birthday. Like, it was just really, really strange what he was doing away from the team, who didn't know where he was for weeks on end.
Right.
And that was what Kevin Durant chose over the Golden State Warriors, who would win a title during Kevin Durant's stint in Brooklyn.
So KD is a two-time performer.
He's
here.
A two-time offender.
Offender.
To call these offenders, right? So that's the list, right? We got the Brooklyn Nets and the KD Kyrie era things. We got the 97-99 Houston Rockets, 23-24 Phoenix Suns, the 2012-2013 Los Angeles Lakers, and the 2013 the Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers. Smalls, you are my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
No omissions. The only objection I may have is I know you have the KD Nets as number one, and there was so much drama and disappointment. That thing was a dumpster fire. But that Rockets team that you mentioned was absolutely loaded, and they were really disappointing, the fact that they weren't able to burst through. I might switch those two and have those two KD teams 2-3 back-to-back.
You know what it is about the KD thing? The KD Kyrie era ended in them getting swept by the Boston Celtics. Like, that was the official end of it.
And didn't Irving give the middle finger to the crowd in game one, if I'm not mistaken?
It was really, really strange. I guess that's why I put that at the top of the list.
It's not good for the Nets as an organization when you say number one Brooklyn Nets, and my response is, which one? Because they have multiple versions of super teams not working, right?
Yeah, but I guess it was Prokhorov wanting to make that situation when he bought the team, when he got the franchise, to make them relevant by bringing over KG and Paul Pierce. That was a terrible trade, and now is the foundation for the Boston Celtics.
But in many ways, yeah.
That was an awful trade, but I mean, I get why they did that. That actually makes sense. Like, even if you didn't win a championship, you were able to call that a success because they made them instantly relevant. But the Brooklyn Nets with KD and Kyrie,
awful.
That was supposed to be championship. Like, you brought three guys in their prime. It was James Harden minus the fat suit coming from Houston. It was Kyrie Irving, the best ball handler God ever made. And then it was KD, one of the most gifted scorers the game has ever seen.
Put it this way.
They were all in their primes.
The Denver Nuggets played more games in the postseason last year than KD, Kyrie, and James Harden played together in their entire career. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, Monica McNutt, it didn't work. The Phoenix Suns bounced a couple of nights ago. Minnesota Timberwolves. So KD joins. LeBron James also bounced.
Steph Curry, not obviously in the playoffs. Think about the Western Conference, those three already home. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio tonight. Knicks and the Sixers presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern, both ESPN Radio stations and on SiriusXM Channel 80. Brian Windhorst, the ESPN senior NBA writer, was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and discussed why this is such an important offseason for one Kevin Durant.
He has 2 years and $105 million on his contract. But because he is eligible for a contract extension, it creates a natural moment for Durant and the team to basically make a comment on each other. Does the team say, Kevin, we'd like to offer you another $60 million when you're 38? Maybe not. But what if they don't? What does Durant say? What if they come to him and say, Kevin, would you like to sign, stay here in Phoenix for the end of your career? What if he doesn't?
Man,
that's not something that can be hashed out until July, but that's one of those things, like, you're already wondering what they're going to do. If he does an extension, it sort of settles things down. Whether it's smart or not, it's a different conversation.
$60 million for Kevin Durant at age 38 sounds absurd. It sounds absurd, but he's the kind of guy, if he's healthy, that should be able to play longer in his career because of his shooting ability. Here's the problem. It doesn't make sense with the rest of that roster. I mean, for lack of a better way of saying it, they're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm them, I don't have a choice but to consider trading Kevin Durant, and I probably will have to get to the point of maybe even trading Devin Booker because I have to restart this thing. There's no other way out of this.
Yeah, it's a $200 million payroll, and it's north of $100 million with the luxury tax bill. Like, can you justify spending that kind of money given the outcome on the court in the postseason? Hell no. So, yeah, I think you have to entertain the possibility of moving on without Kevin Durant. And the all likelihood, if you end up making that decision, then it won't be long before Devin Booker wants out too. So you already have Stephen A. Smith out here speculating about Devin Booker wanting to come to the New York Knicks.
Let's take a listen, courtesy of First Take yesterday on ESPN.
From what I'm being told, I don't know if it'll ever happen, Devin Booker wants to be in New York. That's what I'm being told. Now, he might deny it. I haven't spoken to him.
Right.
I'm just telling you, the scuttlebutt in the NBA circles is that brother want to be in New York.
He want to be in New York.
Okay. So if you're Phoenix, you got at least two people, probably three, who all getting paid about $150 million combined, mm-hmm. don't want to be there.
The irony of that is that Kevin Durant once upon a time said the Knicks wasn't the cool thing to do, and now his teammate Devin Booker might want to go to the Knicks as opposed to staying in Phoenix and playing with KD.
Yeah, the Knicks feels like the cool thing to do right now, though, does it not?
Comparatively, the Knicks certainly
feel like the cool landing spot. I am not surprised if Devin Booker is looking at what's happening with the Knicks and is like, man, that seems fun. I would love to go hang out with them and play like them, and I would love to be in that market. I think the Suns just need to blow it up. What's the point of even trying to reboot this thing? CeCe, you just had a list of all of these super teams that failed. The Suns were on it. We were talking about a big three. What's big about this team outside of the payroll and maybe the names on the back of the jersey? This didn't feel big from the jump. There was no cohesion. There wasn't the direction that was needed. It didn't feel like they had the sense of urgency that needed. Looking at this past playoff exit, they didn't feel competitive half the time. I don't know really what you could look at with this group to say, outside of the financial puzzle that you have to figure out, yeah, let's try to reboot this thing and bring it back. It doesn't feel like anybody involved really thinks that this is a great idea or really wants to go for round two of this.
And I also don't know that anyone was going to want to go there. Like, I don't think that anybody's going to be like, oh, let me go and help out KD and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. I'll take less, vet minimum kind of deal, because that's all they can give out.
Take less because you have a chance to compete for a championship.
Which they have no chance.
They got no shot.
The take less teams in the Western Conference right now do not include the Lakers and the Suns, which is interesting. The take less teams include Denver. I think they're going to include Minnesota, as crazy as that sounds. Wendy threw out there San Antonio, and I will always say Golden State because of the fact that everybody wants to be around Steph.
Yeah.
He just makes everyone around him better. But this is where it gets interesting. So Wendy threw out there yesterday the idea that there's three tradable players on this team because of contracts. Nurkic, Durant, and Booker. Somebody would want Nurkic. You're also not going to get a lot in return if you're the Suns to do anything with that.
No.
a lot of somebodies will want Durant, and a lot of somebodies would want Booker. The question is, Matt Ishbia, the majority governor of the team, who came in and immediately wanted to make it about himself by trading for Kevin Durant. I have to make a move. I have to make a splash. I'm not going to let James Jones and Monty Williams develop this team. I got to go get Kevin Durant. Then during the summer, I got to go get Bradley Beal. He makes no sense with that group. Is he going to be able to then sit back and say, you know what? I screwed up. I messed this thing up. We need to tear it down to build it back up. And you know, the crazy thing is, they actually have pieces where you could tear it down and build it back up pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, just off of KD and Devin Booker alone.
And you literally will be good in 2 years. Yeah. By whatever you get in return. By accident, you'll be good in 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, between those two guys, you're talking about a minimum of what, 8 first-round picks?
6 to 8 first-round picks for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, Smalls?
No, I'm just saying that's a... You really could hit the restart button if you wanted to. I just don't know if their governor has the stomach for that. It seems like he likes the collection of stars.
Yes, exactly right. And I mean, I have, by the way, I haven't released my trade rules in the NBA, my QB rules laminated over here. You know, but I know you guys know my trade rules is I don't care how many first round picks you give up to get a guy if you have a guy that can get you those picks back.
Yes.
I don't care that they gave up 1 million picks to get Kevin Durant because Devin Booker can get you those picks back.
Yeah.
Are you willing to give those picks? The Knicks will give you the picks back for Devin Booker because yes. He fits way more than Donovan Mitchell does on that
Knicks
team.
The Knicks have a ton of picks.
And the Knicks could give up a ton of picks and still have a ton of picks.
Yes.
And still have the grimy guys that make them good.
Yeah.
Are they willing to do that? Are the Suns willing to do a trade like that? I don't know. They're going to take Julius Randle and 4 first-rounders?
But I guess my point is, what's your alternative? Where are you going?
I agree with you.
You're not going anywhere.
I agree with you.
What are you going to spend? $300 million next year between payroll and taxes? For an early first round exit, you're not getting better. Think about those teams in the Western Conference. Like, you got to deal with the Timberwolves. You got to deal with OKC. You got to deal with the Denver Nuggets. Not to mention all of the upstart teams, the Houston Rockets, San Antonio Spurs, on and on. Like, it's not going to get easier from here.
Totally agree. There needs to be 2 meetings. One is with Devin Booker. What do you actually want to do? And then one is with the collective group. Hey, we tried. It didn't work. You guys aren't asking out. We're not pushing you out. I think we all know it's over. We're going to explore other options. Give us your lists. And we'll try to abide by the list, but we can't guarantee you. They're done. They had 1 year run, and they are donezo.
Mm-hmm.
We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.